David Glenn is the longtime host of the David Glenn Show and the author of the Holding Court column on our website, chapelboro.com. And he joins us on the phone to talk about Tar Heel basketball as we get set for the start of the season. David, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Aaron. Excited for this season to get underway and great to be with you again.
How does this season, do you think, and the anticipation and the buzz around this team compare to other years? We talk about like the 2015-16 team that was number one in the rankings. Obviously, that Tyler Hansborough, Ty Lawson team that just dominated the 2009 season. What does this remind you of, if anything?
That is one example, but another would be those Tyler Hansborough teams, where in 2008, for example, the Tar Heels went to the Final Four but did not win at all. But they returned Hansborough, one of the greatest players in program history, and some other veterans. And, of course, they not only won the national title in 2009 after that preseason hype, they are actually the most recent example in the entire country of doing what this year's Tar Heels are trying to do, meaning preseason number one in the polls and then all the way to cutting down the nets in March. It doesn't happen as often as people think it does. About 16% of the time it does happen, but the most recent example is the Roy Williams Tar Heels of 2009. And yeah, this year's preseason hype reminds me a little bit of how that Hansborough group started way back in October of that, or November of that year.
And if it's been 14 years since the last time, I'm going to say we're all due, right?
I think a lot of Carolina fans are hoping you're exactly right with that. And they certainly have a chance. I mean, you mentioned the guys. You need great guards, right? RJ Davis and Caleb Love found their groove as a pair last year. You need defense. And Leaky Black is one of the best. Pete Nance, actually, the Northwestern transfer, is not only a scorer and a three-point shooter that may help with the absence of the legendary three-point shooter of last year, who's now making buckets internationally, Brady Manick, the only starter who's not back for the Tar Heels. And, of course, Armando Bacot's the preseason ACC Player of the Year. And they have other freshmen and newcomers that they expect to be part of the rotation. So Hubert Davis proved his merit as a young head coach last year. So you have to think the coaching element is going to be in place. You know how this works. You have to stay healthy. You have to build positive chemistry. And there are other really good teams out there. So sometimes you can be among the best and still not win at all.
Speaking with David Glenn, and it's kind of a hard team for me to gauge. You know, the last two times Carolina made it to the finals and lost were 81 and 2016, and then both times they went on to win the title the next year, so hoping that trend continues. But last year's narrative is a really kind of wild back and forth. People talked for so long about how disappointing the team was and how much they'd struggled, especially in the middle of the ACC slate when they were losing games you'd think they would have won, and then they just ramped it up right there at the end of the season with a couple of wins that were really tight there. That Baylor game, for one, jumps out as the most obvious. But like, with that in mind, what is your expectation for this team this year? Do you think they're properly rated as number one, or are we going to see them drop back a little bit, come forward at the end?
I do think they're properly rated. Your points are well taken. I mean, we witnessed one of the most amazing stories in the history of Carolina
basketball.
Crazy
season.
That is not an exaggeration. And they've been playing basketball in Chapel Hill for more than 100 years. To have the lows of losing at home to Pitt. And really, it's easy to forget, but we were in the month of February wondering if the Tar Heels were going to make the NCAA tournament. Remember that? They were part of the bubble talk, which I had never heard before, because Carolina, of course, always makes, or almost always makes, the NCAA tournament. It's a fair question to ask, but I think the experience factor, and really even the chip on the shoulder factor, it worked for the Tar Heels last year because they bonded together. Yep. Over the concept of being counted out and belittled and degraded. And then they went on to not only the national title game, but those two famous victories over Mike Krzyzewski's Blue Devils that will live for eternity. Their chip this year, I think, is whereas none of those veterans had the NBA beating their door down, we do live in a world now where a lot of guys turn pro early, even if they don't think they're going to be drafted. You know, you can make a nice six-figure income in Europe or somewhere else, or maybe it takes you a while in the G League to get to the NBA. all those guys decided to stay. You know, and Leaky Black's a sixth-year guy, and or a super senior, they call him, a fifth year of full eligibility, I should say. Pete Nance is a fifth-year guy after 4 years at Northwestern. Armando Bacot certainly could have made a lot of money as a professional basketball player if he had opted to turn pro, again, even if he wasn't going to be a first-round pick. That's a chip of a different kind. You know, Caleb Love was an NBA prospect and still is, of course. So they came back. Hubert Davis doesn't necessarily love when they say championship or bust. We talked to him in Charlotte about that a couple weeks ago. But he says it's not that simple, and I think he's right. But that's what's on these players' minds. It's championship or bust, and that's a chip on the shoulder that can work in other positive ways.
Speaking with David Glenn, and we'll start to wrap up, but as we do, what's the X factor here for Carolina? What do you think the difference is between, other than just dumb luck and the ball bouncing one way or the other and the closing seconds of a particular game, what's the difference between them cutting down the nets in April versus coming up short?
To me, it's the better version of Caleb Love. That's the starting point. Caleb Love, at his best, can lead the Tar Heels to a national championship. Caleb Love is far less predictable than what you're going to get from Armando Bacot in the post, what you're going to get from Leaky Black on defense and running the floor and unselfishness and leadership. Some of these variables are very predictable. I think RJ Davis has become an incredibly rugged, bulldog, tough-minded guard. Caleb's a roller coaster. And so they need the better version of Caleb more consistently. And then I do think it'll be interesting to see who among the players we have not mentioned by name, Puff Johnson, the freshman, et cetera, who among them is really ready to help? Because Hubert Davis did say that one of the only weak links last year was the Tar Heels' depth. He expects them to have more depth this year. And if that's going to be the case, you know, more than one of those freshmen and those other returnees are going to have to step up to the plate and be ready to play.
And then finally, as we close, turning to Tar Heel football, since we still got a few games left in that season, plus hopefully the ACC title game and a big bowl after that, another close victory over Virginia. They keep getting these close wins on the road, very different from the last couple, or especially last year. What are your thoughts about Carolina football, now number 15 in the nation?
Well, obviously, Drake May is one of the greatest stories in all of college football this season. I don't think that's a local over-exaggeration. Mm-hmm. He is a legitimate Heisman contender, given his numbers, the Tar Heels' impressive 8-1 start, his leadership, his poise, his maturity, even as a young guy. It's obviously mostly that brilliant offense of Phil Longo and Drake May. But the Tar Heels have been opportunistic on defense. And when they've needed to make plays, even during a rough year on that side of the ball, they've made enough plays to win. So I think they're the surprise team of the ACC, one of the surprise teams in the nation. It's going to be a good year no matter how it finishes. But it has a chance to be, you know, one of the best seasons in modern Carolina football history. They haven't been in the national top 25 very often this century, at least not at the end of the season. They haven't come close to 10 wins very often since, you know, the first time Mack Brown was in Chapel Hill back in the 1990s. So there's still a lot to attain on the table, as the Tar Heels have maybe the toughest part of their schedule coming up, with, you know, Wake Forest still to play and NC State still to play. But it's a great story right now, and it can either kind of come back to earth a little bit or become an even better story over this last month or so.
Tar Heels taking on Wake this weekend. Of course, UNC basketball taking on UNCW in the Smith Center tonight at 9. We'll have that game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. David Glenn, as always, pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Aaron. Enjoy the games.